This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Yesterday I was down at St Paul's, where I would normally be speaking to the university students. They would come in for lunch and we would sit down with them and I would talk to them about how they too can find Jesus Christ. However, I found myself speaking with the Bible College students when I went down to St Paul's. The reason is that they would come on in and they too would come and sit down with the students and talk with them too. However, I sat down with one Bible College student and began to speak to him about how he could speak with God by first of all accepting the situation which he found himself in. The reason being for this is that so many people just don't accept the fact that the situation that they might be in, no matter how hard it might be or seem, they don't believe that it is that God has caused it. For instance, a person might need healing, and yet they somehow find it hard to believe that God can heal in that situation. Or they might find that all of a sudden they don't have a job. Well, they don't seem to be able to get another one at this stage. The thing to do is simply to praise God and thank Him for the fact that they don't have a job anymore. And then so very often as we accept the situation, God will begin to work on our behalf or in the situation and start to change it. Jim's father, for instance, had been an alcoholic for 30 years. All those years, Jim's mother and later Jim and his young wife had prayed that God would heal him, but with no apparent result. Jim's father refused to admit that he had a problem with alcohol and stalked out in anger if anyone ever mentioned religion to him. One day, Jim heard me speak about the power that is released when we begin to praise God for everything in our lives instead of pleading with Him to change the circumstances that hurt us. Jim brought home a tape of the meeting and played it over and over again for his friends. Then one day it struck him. He had never tried praising God for his father's condition. Excitedly, he shared the thought with his wife. "Yes, honey, let us thank God for the problem that Dad has with alcohol and praise Him that the condition is part of His wonderful plan for Dad's life." For the rest of that day, they gave thanks and praised God for every aspect of the situation. And by evening, they felt a new sense of excitement and expectation. The next day, the parents came over for the usual Sunday dinner visit. And always before, Jim's father had cut the visit as short as possible, leaving right after dinner. This time, over a cup of coffee, he suddenly asked a pointed question. "What do you think about this Jesus revolution?" He turned to Jim. "I saw something about it on the news last night. Is it just a fad or is it something happening to those kids who were hung up on drugs?" The question led to a lengthy and open discussion about Christianity, and the older people didn't leave till late in the evening. Within weeks, Jim's father came to admit his drinking problem, turned for help to Jesus Christ, and was completely healed. He now joins the rest of the family in telling others what praising God can do. Just think. Jim said to me, "For 30 years we prayed for God to change Dad. We spent only one day praising God for the situation and look what happened." The phrases praise the Lord or thank God are used so glibly by many of us that we tend to lose sight of their real meaning. Praise, according to Webster's dictionary, means to extol, laud, honour, acclaim or express approval. To praise, then, is to give positive affirmation, expressing our approval of something. Giving our approval means that we accept or agree with what we approve of. So to praise God for difficult situations, a sickness or disaster, means literally that we accept and approve of its happening as part of God's plan for our lives. And we can't really praise God without being thankful for the thing we are praising Him for. And we can't really be thankful without being happy about whatever we are thanking Him for. So praising then involves both gratitude and joy. And the very fact that we praise God and not some unknown fate also means that we are accepting the fact that God is responsible for what is happening. Otherwise, it would make little sense thanking Him for it at all. As the Word of God says, always be joyful, always keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. I've met many people who are able to praise God for their circumstances simply because they accept the Word of the Bible, that they are supposed to praise God in everything. Praising Him, they soon experience a result of an attitude of consistent thanksgiving and joy, and in turn, their faith is strengthened, and they can continue to live this way. Others find it a little bit more difficult. I just don't understand, they say. I try praising God, but it is so hard for me to believe that He really has a hand in all the horrible things that have happened to me lately. We say we don't understand, and some of us get stuck right there. Our understanding becomes a real stumbling block in our relationship with God. But God has a perfect plan for our understanding. And when we use it His way, it isn't a stumbling block, but a wonderful aid to our truth. For God is the King of all the earth, says the psalmist. Sing praises in a skillful psalm and with understanding. We're not supposed to push our understanding out of the way, grit our teeth and say, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'll praise the Lord if it kills me, if that's the only way I can get out of this mess. That's not praising, that's manipulating. We've all tried to manipulate God, and it is wonderful to know that He loves us too much to let us get away with it. We are to praise God with our understanding, not in spite of it. Our understanding gets us into trouble when we try to figure out why and how God brings certain circumstances into our lives. We can never understand why and how God does something, but He wants us to be able to accept with our understanding that He does it. This is the basis for our praise. And God wants us to understand that He loves us and that He has a plan for us. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. It's found in Romans 8:28. So are you surrounded by difficult circumstances right now? Have you been struggling to understand why they have come to you? Then try to accept with your understanding that God does love you and has allowed those circumstances because He knows they are good for you. Praise Him for what He has brought into your life. Do it deliberately and with your understanding. One couple heard me speak on praising God for everything and went home quite disturbed. For months they had grieved over the condition of their daughter, who had been committed to a mental institution and had been diagnosed hopelessly insane. Prayer groups across the country had been asked to intercede for her, and daily the parents had pleaded with God on their knees to heal their daughter, her condition remained unchanged. Their initial response to the challenge that they were praising God, or that they were to praise God for the condition of their daughter, had left them distraught and unhappy. It would be blasphemy, said the wife, thanking God for something so obviously evil. If we thank him, doesn't that mean we accuse him of deliberately hurting our daughter? It just doesn't seem to fit in with my idea of a loving God. Well, it doesn't seem right, the husband agreed. But what if that speaker is correct? The wife looked helplessly at her husband. I just don't know, she said. Well, we have nothing to lose, do we, the husband? And the husband looked thoughtful. Why don't we try? They knelt together. Dear God, the husband began, we know that you love us and that you love your daughter even more than we do. We are going to trust that you are working out in her life what you know is best for her. So we thank you for her sickness. We thank you that she's in the hospital. We thank you for the doctors who haven't found a way to help her. We praise you, God, for your wisdom and love towards us. The longer they prayed that day, the more they became convinced that God was indeed doing what was best. The next morning, the hospital psychiatrist called. Sir, there's been a remarkable change in your daughter, he said. I suggest you come and see her. Within 2 weeks, she was released from the hospital. A year later, a young man came up to me after a meeting. He introduced himself as the girl's brother and told me that she was married, expecting a baby, and is the happiest girl in the world. A mother came and wanted prayer for her daughter, who was a go-go dancer in a nightclub. Merlin Crothers, who wrote the book that I am reading from just at the present time, told her I would be glad to pray with her and thank God for her daughter's situation. And she looked at me in horror. Don't tell me I'm supposed to thank God that my daughter mocks common decency and laughs at religion. Surely I've got the devil to thank for her misery, not a loving God. The mother was faced with a difficult choice. All her life she had been conditioned to thank God for everything good and blame the devil for everything bad. And together we searched the pages of my Bible for verses stating that God is able to work all things for good for those who love and trust him, and that he wants us to be thankful in everything, regardless of how evil our situation appears. You can go on thinking that your daughter's situation is controlled by the devil and by your lack of faith in God's supreme power, which made it difficult for him to work out his perfect plan for her. Or you can believe that God is at work, thank him for everything, and thereby release his power to work in her life. At last, the mother agreed to try. I don't understand why it has to be this way, she said, but I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to thank him for it. We prayed together, Merlin Crothers said, and I'm not worried at all about my daughter, she beamed, because it seemed that the whole situation began to change. Later she told me what happened. The same night, her daughter was dancing nearly nude on her little platform when a young man came into the nightclub. He walked up to the girl, looked straight at her and said, Jesus really loves you. The go-go dancer was used to hearing all kinds of remarks from young men, but never anything like this. She came down from her platform, sat down with the young man at a table and asked, why did you say that? He explained that he happened to be walking down the street when he felt that God was urging him to go into that particular nightclub and tell the go-go dancer that Jesus Christ was offering her the free gift of eternal life. Stunned, the girl stared at him. Then tears filled her eyes, and quietly she said, I would like to receive that gift. And she did, right there at the table in the nightclub, praising God as not a patent medicine, a cure-all, or a magic formula for success. It is a way of life that is solidly backed up in God's word. We praise God not for the expected results, but for the situation just as it is. And as long as we praise God with an eye secretly looking for the expected results, we are only kidding ourselves, and we can be certain that nothing will happen to change us or our situation. Praise is based on a total and a joyful acceptance of the present as part of God's loving, perfect will for us. Praise is not based on what we think or hope will happen in this future. This is an absolute law, clearly observable in the practice of praise. We praise God not for what we expect will happen in or around us, but we praise Him for what He is and where and how we are right now. It is, of course, a fact that when we honestly praise God, something does happen as a result. His power obviously flows into the situation, and we will notice sooner or later a change in us or around us. The change may be that we came to experience a real joy and happiness in the midst of what once appeared to be a miserable situation, or the situation may change. But this is a result of praise and must not be the motivation for praise. Praise is not a bargaining position. We don't say, "I'll praise you so that you can bless me, Lord." To praise God is to delight ourselves in Him. And the psalmist wrote, "Be delighted with the Lord, then He will give you all your heart's desires." Psalm 37, verse 4. And notice the order of importance here. We don't make a list of our heart's desires and then delight ourselves in the Lord in order to get them. We are first to be delighted, and once we've experienced being really delighted with God, we'll discover that everything else becomes secondary. Still, it is true that God does want us to give us all our heart's desires. Nothing short of this is His wish and plan for us. If we could only learn to be delighted with the Lord in everything first. Christian couple had two sons. One was their pride and joy. He lived at home and shared his parents' warm and happy Christian faith. Once, when I was having dinner with them, Merlin Crothers writes, they confided in me that their older son was a rebel and gone from home. He had graduated from college with honors, but had turned his back on his parents and on established society. Now he roamed the country as a hippie, with no apparent objectives in life. The unhappy parents asked if I had any advice for them. Merlin Crothers explained that he believed that God had given them this son and was answering their prayers for his salvation. If your prayers are sincere, then you can be sure that his present life is exactly what God knows is best for him and for you, I said. That is Merlin Crothers. I understand, said the father. We want only what is best for our boy, and this must be God's way and will for all of us. We joined hands around the dinner table and thanked God for working out His plan in the way He knew best. And afterwards, the parents felt a real release and a new peace. A short time later, the family wrote to Merlin Crothers, and since our meeting, the parents had persisted in thanking God for their son's way of life, even if they found it hard to understand. Then one day their son had an accident on his bike and received a painful injury to his foot. Temporarily crippled, he decided to come home for a while. He informed his parents that he had left a trail of unpaid bills across the country. The parents prayed about it and decided that if God had really been at work in all the events in their son's life, they would be willing to pay the bills. And so they thanked him for every one of them and paid the debts in full. Their son was amazed. He had expected to be reprimanded and told to take care of his own obligations. Instead, his parents were relaxed, loving, and appeared to accept his way-out style of dress and hair without cringing. And one evening, some young Christians came to visit the younger son. The oldest brother was obviously irritated by the intrusion, but his painful foot kept him from leaving the house. Enthusiastically, the young Christians shared what Jesus Christ had done and was doing in their lives. At first, the older brother offered scathing criticism of what he called their naive and unrealistic approach to life. But soon he was listening attentively and asking probing questions. Before the evening was over, he had turned his life over to Jesus Christ. And his parents joyfully wrote that there was an immediate and drastic change in their older son's life. He dedicated himself to following Jesus and serving him. Eagerly he studied the Bible, and within a few days he asked for and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the experience of the followers of Jesus had received on the first Pentecost after Christ's death and resurrection. A few days later, he met a Christian girl, and 2 weeks later, they were engaged to be married. You see, this young man, although he had been away from home and away from the Lord, once he had come to accept the situation that he found himself in, he too was able to come and know Jesus Christ personally for himself. And this was all part of God's plan for him. And we can well imagine that he too would be praising God after receiving the baptism of the Spirit of God, and above all else, having received Jesus Christ into his life. After what we've heard today, we too need to accept the situation that we're in and just praise God and thank him for everything, no matter if it be good or bad. And as we accept it, we too will begin to find that God will work either on our behalf or on others' behalf as we release the situation to the Lord. This is Murray Yates, signing off for this week. Thank you, and God bless you all. Oh,